Today I'm going to be speaking from Jeremiah chapter 25, and I want to read this to you. Jeremiah 25, verses 1 through 7. The word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Jeremiah, the prophet, said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I've spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Jeremiah is the longest book that we have in the Bible. And so this chapter, chapter 25, lands pretty much smack right in the middle of the book. Now, if you're to read Jeremiah from the beginning to the end, you'll discover that the book of Jeremiah is really a story of persistence. Here's another story of persistence. In 2010, a Korean grandmother finally got her driver's license on her 960th try. 960 tries. She did it over a three-year period, often going five times a week to take the test. Each time she had to pay another $5. And she finally did it. Now, here's what the driving instructor said afterwards. Perhaps she should content herself with simply getting the license and not endangering others on the road by actually driving. Well, 960 times. No matter how she drove, she definitely proved that she was a lady of persistence. Sometimes, tucked into a passage of Scripture, you discover these little nuggets that normally would be skipped over because they feel kind of like filler, detail that's designed to round out the story, but really not something to give your full attention to. You know, details like he sat under a sycamore tree. But you pay attention sometimes and you find profound truth. For 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. In preparation for today's message, I read several different commentaries, and interestingly enough, not one of the commentaries even mentioned this line in their study. And yet, inside this line is contained a picture of what we need more than ever in the day in which we find ourselves. That kind of consistent persistence that ends up showing up as faithfulness. Now, Jeremiah uses a word here that I want us to pay particular attention to. The NIV has chosen to translate that word as again and again. But Hebrew uses only one word, hashkem. Other versions, I think, get a little closer to the Hebrew meaning when they translate the word to mean persistent. I have spoken to you persistently, but you have not listened. So that's our word for today, hashkem. Now say it out loud with me. Come on. Hashkem. It sounds a bit like a sneeze. Hashkem! you get it. You can use it for anything you want, because who speaks Hebrew, right? But it's a wonderful word that we need this morning. Hashkem. So you say it. Hashkem. Persistently. Jeremiah lived a Hashkem life, a life of persistency. Jeremiah chooses to use that word 11 different times in this book. Let me just give you another little sample, Jeremiah 7:13. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you persistently, but you did not listen. I called, but you did not answer. All the uses of Hashkem sound just like that. Jeremiah being persistent, the Lord being persistent. It's about being in this kind of persistent pursuit. Go back in time with me. Jeremiah is writing this in 605 BC, 605 years prior to the coming of Jesus. The Babylonians are on the rise. Babylon, contemporary Iraq. Egypt, to the south of Israel, is one of the powers of the region. Babylon is on the rise. Egypt is an established power. And between these two superpowers lies Israel, the land in between. Babylon wants to take Egypt. And so they're getting ready to conquer Israel so that they can use the land of Israel as a staging area to attack Egypt. Israel's almost a throwaway, just a little tiny piece of land with a few people, a no-account nation, powerless really to defend themselves. Jeremiah has been prophesying for 23 years. Do you think the people of Judah really cared? Not a bit. Because Jeremiah's prophesying seemed to do nothing about the circumstances they were in. They had abandoned any recognition of God. Times were tough. The people wanted help. They wanted real, tangible help, not just this spiritual talk that Jeremiah was always doing. They wanted to follow the ways of the superpowers, the patterns of the superpowers. Why not? When you want to be successful, you do what successful people do. And the successful people, the Babylonians and the Egyptians, had their idols. Jeremiah calls them idols that they have made with their own hands. We're no different. We want to be successful, so we follow the pattern of the successful people. We want what they have. So we do what successful people do. We make idols of our celebrities, the successful ones. We adopt the cultural values. He who dies with the most toys wins. We make comfort the ultimate cultural goal. We're doing what successful people do. What the worship of all these false gods does is breaks our covenant with God. The covenant with God says that He will be our God and we will be His people. That covenant sounds really good. It's the kind of thing we all want. And for the first few days, things go well under that covenant. But that covenant can get kind of tiresome after a while because everybody else who isn't under the covenant is getting their piece of the pie and we just sail by. Doesn't seem after a while like there's a whole lot of advantage to Him being our God and we being His people. In the long run, it doesn't just seem to be working out. What happens when we break a covenant and agreement? There's a price to pay. I break the covenant agreement I have with my landlord, and I'll have to pay a fine or be punished. Year after year, Israel took their lead from Babylon and Egypt and broke their covenant with God. Finally, God punished Israel through Babylon. In essence, He said, if you like Babylon and Babylon's ways and Babylon's powers and Babylon's success so much, well then to Babylon you shall go. And Babylon came and invaded them and took them as slaves back to Babylon, to Iraq. And there they would languish for the next 50 years. And it's in the middle of all of that that we find Jeremiah prophesying. For every day for 23 years, he'd get up in the morning, go out, and share the word of the Lord that the Lord had given to him for the people. For 23 years, we watch him get up out of bed, make his breakfast, walk out of his little stone home, make his way down the street and to the temple, and share the words that God had told him to share. And for 23 years, every morning, he received exactly the same response, complete dismissal. The people did not listen. The people did not hear. They were deaf to Jeremiah. The sound of Jeremiah's voice had become like background noise to them. The thing I find fascinating about this story is that Jeremiah does not quit. We don't read anywhere where he says, you know, I've had enough. If they haven't heard in 23 years, then they're never going to hear. I'm done. I'm going to do something profitable, something successful with my life. There's just no sense in me doing this. And there's no sense in this passage of Jeremiah stopping. He's persistent. He's persistent because he believes a fundamental truth. Listen to verse 5. Turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. There is still hope. If somehow they will listen to the words of the Lord and respond, they can change the inevitable outcome. They won't have to face punishment. They can know the power and wonder of God's grace. But for 23 years, he kept at it. And we're only halfway through the book. There are years to come. What Jeremiah is doing is he's practicing Hashkem. This persistency is written on Jeremiah's character. It's part of his identity. What you see with Jeremiah is what you get. No pretenses. You don't have to like Jeremiah, but he is consistent. He stays true to his character. No, Jeremiah even stays true to what God has called him to be. At the very beginning of his ministry, this is what God said to Jeremiah: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. I have put my words in your mouth. Huh. This was quite an assignment for Jeremiah. It was difficult work, this persistence. It's pretty rough on his soul. Can you imagine just how discouraging and draining this would be? He was roughed up by kings. He was thrown into a cistern. He was mocked in the middle of town courts. His wife died and he was not allowed to mourn. And every day he spoke God's words, and every day it was like spitting into the wind. It just came back at him. No wonder Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. He saw with prophetic clarity the destiny of his people. It's like they were headed for a cliff. And Jeremiah was jumping up and down and waving his arms and shouting, "Stop!" No one listened. They just kept on running. Yet here's Jeremiah, Hashkem. How is he so persistent? The word Hashkem has sunrise in it. As the word Hashkem developed and morphed over time, it came to describe people who got up every morning before dawn to make a long journey or to go into fields to do what needed to be done persistently. It's kind of like a persistently rising before the sun got too hot. Hashkem, every day, just like the sun rising. Well, we know that the Psalms would have been very familiar to Jeremiah. Psalm 108 is one that we choose particularly. They prayed the Psalms every morning as the sun came up. Psalm 108 begins, "My heart is ready, O God, is ready. I will sing and make music with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn." It's where persistence comes from. It's not, "Well, here comes another morning, I have to tough it out and I hope to survive." That's what I thought Jeremiah might do. But rather it is, "My heart is ready." This is not a persistence that causes your soul to fade, where you feel reduced, run down, worn, and empty. It's a persistence that says every morning, "My heart is ready." Jeremiah's imagination is still strong. His spirit is resilient. He's not waiting to clock out at the end of the day. He's not just persistently collecting a paycheck until he can get out of there. He lives with a persistent pursuit. His heart is ready. That's so contrary to the way the world in which we live lives, with its frenetic and erratic ways. Speed is what matters. So long as the message is flashy and well presented, we don't even care what the content is. John Fowles, in his novel, says he wanted Everest in a day. If he took two, he lost interest. Persistence is too much work, especially when there are so many shortcuts available. And by the way, we're entitled to more. We've come to learn how to defeat boredom with adrenaline. But persistence takes the long view. The morning will come. The sunrise will be new. Have you ever seen just how new every sunrise is? The wonder and the beauty, the power of every sunrise, it's never quite the same. It's almost a fingerprint of the sky. Jeremiah's listeners didn't get it. How could they get it? They were too busy pursuing in a strong way their own aspirations. We live like pinballs, bouncing and ricocheting all over the place, hoping that along the way something good will stick. It's a bit like the story of the prodigal son who bounced from friend to friend, buying their attention, only to find himself at the end broke and friendless. We end up with the shallow and the empty. Well, by the time we get to this point of the story in Jeremiah, it's pretty clear that he did not gain his persistence from the people. He hadn't learned it from the culture. Read the verse again. "The word of the Lord was given to me." Jeremiah was given the word of the Lord each morning. And each day, Jeremiah carried that same word of the Lord to the people. Think about it this way. Jeremiah is following the persistence of God. God persistently gave him the word every morning. God persistently pursues his people and returns, and in return calls us to persistently pursue him. You probably know that Jeremiah wrote another book, the Book of Lamentations. It's the darkest book of the Bible. It tells the story of the suffering of God's people during their enslavement, their exile. It's almost the story of the Holocaust. It's a painful book that requires enormous courage to even read, never mind live. But again, in the middle of the book, comes a clue to Jeremiah's persistence. Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There is the persistence of God and the sunrise all over again. His steadfast love never ceases, new every morning. God is as persistent and consistent and regular and faithful as the sun coming up every day. Every day, the new beginning. Every day reveals God's extraordinary faithfulness. Every day, God's imaginative and creative ways come into play and display. The Word of God brings a freshness and a newness to the day. Jeremiah learned persistence by following the persistence of God. Jeremiah is up before dawn, listening for and to the Word of the Lord, entering into the newness of each day. Quiet and attentive before God, before the noise and the demands and the expectations of the day and of the people jangle his nerves and terrorize his thoughts. Whenever I'm in Jerusalem, I wake up fairly early in the morning and I listen to the quiet before the dawn. And then as the dawn begins to break, you can just see the pink of the sunrise. You can hear the carts of bread being pulled into the square, the shuffling of the feet down the lanes, the sound of a scooter, the grind of metal doors being flung open, children making morning sounds, and business starting the day. But the question we need to always answer is, what am I persistently in pursuit of? That's what the quiet of the morning with the Word of God helps us sort out. It reminds us that persistence is only as good as what we persistently pursue. For 23 years, everyone knew that what Jeremiah was persistently pursuing. For 23 years, they watched as he pursued that relationship with God that would last him a lifetime. He was never finished. Every day was a new opportunity. Jeremiah was persistent because God was persistent with him. And the surrounding culture thought he was nuts. Jeremiah, you're simply wasting your time. We don't want to hear from you anymore. I wonder if maybe his words and his ways cut just a little too close to the heart. Hashkem, persistence. Each morning at sunrise, we are reminded that we serve a persistent God who persistently pursues his people. He won't let us go. And each morning, if we listen, we will hear the word of the Lord. When we persistently open up His word and listen to that word, we are shaped by the word. We listen. We do not follow the false gods of this world of speed and pride and noisy souls. We listen. Persistently listen and pursue the heart of God. We rise with the sun and recall the faithfulness of God. And we take that moment and we praise His name, Hashkem, persistently. Like Jacob, we reach out and we pursue and grab a hold of God. We don't want to let Him go. I will not let you go until you bless me. And Jesus becomes for us our strength and our salvation. We cling to Him, Hashkem, persistently. Because He has so persistently and graciously pursued you. So tomorrow morning, as you rise with the dawn, as the sun comes up, remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. That this new day is an opportunity to demonstrate persistence in the pursuit of Him. That His love will then be expressed in and through your life in a way that the culture may not ever understand. But you will know the gift of God's grace. Amen.